We get it. You're busy. You want to grow, and we want to help. You're passionate about your craft because it deeply matters to you. Your faith is important. It's your foundation. At Stayforth, we coach leaders to avoid burnout, live and lead with clarity, purpose, and from a place of health. We want you to experience long-term impact. Welcome to the journey. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I have been thinking about a topic recently, I would say over the last 6 months or so, and it's something that honestly I've thought about before, but to me has come to the forefront of my leadership, even my parenting, life at home, life at work, my coaching. As I work with organizations, I see it as well, and it is energy. The idea of energy, I think the older we get, the more we realize that energy matters. It matters a lot. And I think when we're young, we have so much energy that it's so easy for us to throw it, expend it, invest it wherever. But the older we get, I think the more we realize that our energy actually is really, really crucial and vital. I think that we can create more time pretty easily. We can not sleep. We can avoid certain activities for a while. But energy is something that if you're going to lead for the long haul, you got to keep reinvesting, replenishing, reinvigorating, all those good rewords. And today's podcast episode, we dive into that. And so the gal's name is Tabitha Scott, and we actually are pretty closely aligned in terms of how we think about organizations and leadership, things like finding your energy flow and your energy well personally as a leader, also organizations. She's actually a futurist. And so we had some fun conversations about where is work right now and where is the future of work and leadership. And I want to introduce you to a term that I've been using, ROE, return on energy. And I want to invite you as you listen to this episode, and even as you reevaluate your leadership, what is the best return on energy for you, the best return on energy for your team, and the best return on energy for your organization? We can't do it all. Elimination is a powerful tool. In this culture of excess with everything coming at you, no is a powerful word because it allows us to truly say our best yes. And some ways that I have been kind of restoking my energy, I love the Working Genius Assessment. And they're actually one of our sponsors here for the podcast. So thank you to the team at the Table Group and the Working Genius. I'll talk a lot about that. We're actually going to do a series on that coming up. But it helps you to assess what's your best energy invested in instead of just spent. I believe energy is best invested, not spent. And so that's a great place to start personally. Just physically, movement creates energy. And so we had Hal Elrod on the podcast a few months ago talking about the Miracle Morning process and how when you get moving physically, it often produces mentally or emotionally kind of new ideas and thoughts. And that's something that I've just always known about myself is that if I'm feeling stuck mentally, I get moving physically. And when you're moving, you get new energy, you get new ideas. And also just this idea of energy, she talks about in this podcast episode, the idea of a light bulb moment, the idea of moving into the flow. We may talk about the flow in our life or leadership. And there's just an energy attached to that. And unfortunately, that word has been co-opted in many ways. And I'm trying to bring that word back. I talk about it a lot in my upcoming book, Anti-Burnout, which releases April 9th. So get ready. We're going to talk about it more here. We're going to invite you to be on the launch team if you're interested for that. But I just think it's a vital concept that the currency of leadership is not time, it's energy. And if you are thinking in just blocks of time, heads up, because that is one way that you can head toward burnout. I want to give a quick shout out to something that's been great for my energy levels called Magic Mind. I have weaned off of coffee and I'm down to just one cup a day. What I realized is that I was depending too much on caffeine and adrenaline. And so I am loving this little shot. I drink it kind of like a matcha tea. It's got nootropics, it's got matcha in there, and I found that it brings me more of a calm. And my focus has been calm, not caffeinated. And it really has changed my leadership, staying calm inside of leaders' lives and issues. I had a leader call me yesterday and said SOS is having a major issue in their company. And just being calm allowed me to help him to stay calm and to get calm as he thought about what that may mean. So not only do we hope you enjoy these episodes, I hope you're challenged by them. Chances are you're probably looking back at the past too much and not enough currently residing in the present moment and looking ahead to the future. I believe this episode, if you let it, will help expand your mind and look a little bit more toward the future. So enjoy this conversation with my new friend, Tabitha Scott. Tabitha, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Alan. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it sounds like we have a ton in common about the way we see life and leadership and organizations. But you call yourself a business futurist. Just start with that. What the heck is a business futurist?
I think a business futurist, and in my book, I talk about how everything in nature, because we're all made of the same energy, every plant, animal, tree, human, and organization as well. They're just another type of living organism. We all follow the same growth curve. And so it's very predictable. People say you can't tell what's coming next, but you can. All you have to do is figure out what phase of the growth cycle you're in now, either personally or professionally or where your company is, and then you know what's coming next. So it's not that tough to be a futurist. Anybody can do it.
So talk about that organization as a living organism idea. How does that change a mindset when a leader sees the organization that way?
Yeah, I think when a leader really understands that an organization is just made up of energy, it's made up of moving parts and people that think differently with different strengths. And organizations always follow the same curve: birth, growth, maturity, and decline. And so if you think of an organization that doesn't jump onto the next curve, Kodak, Compaq, Blockbuster, you know, there's a huge list of them. They didn't innovate to rebirth in time. And in nature, that's propagation or planting your seeds or having children. You know, it's that type of thing. And if businesses aren't thinking about the next generation, then they die, right? So as long as they keep jumping on new growth curves, then they're a living organism. But as soon as they stop, then they're toast.
And you talk about change management as a no-go. You don't like that phrase. Tell me more why you don't, and then what you would replace that with instead.
Yeah, I think maybe in the old-fashioned times before the, you know, web and before people had the same computing power in their phones that NASA had when it first landed a spaceship on the moon, you know, before technology had accelerated to this point, it would be fair to say, yes, let's manage change. Let's, you know, space it out. Remember, like in the old days, you would have this graph and it was like, here we are this year, we're going to grow to this. And then every week your meeting was like, let's get back to plan. Here's our variances, you know, but it doesn't work like that. You know, one social media post could send your company into a big stock drop. One, you know, misstep of a corporate person or something they did in their personal life that crosses over, you know, the math is no longer linear, it's chaos theory. And try to manage that. You can't. So people are stuck chasing change. And I'm just like, stop trying to chase change. You're never going to catch it. It's just speeding up. And instead, learn to flow with it, right? And learn where you fit in on that growth curve and then contribute as much as you can.
And so somebody here is going, okay, I lead a team. I lead an organization. Flow with change. What does that look like? Dive into that.
Well, let's think about that word for a minute, flow. Now, you talk about energy a lot, and you're writing a book on burnout, and so you're really an expert on this. So I was excited to talk to you about it. But since we're all made of the same energy, you know, at the core level, even DNA, it's just data and energy. That's it. Mm-hmm. So if you look at all businesses, all things, if you can manage that energy, then you can avoid burnout.
And we talk about a lot at Stay Forth that the currency of leadership is not time, it's energy. And so I even use ROE. What's the best return on energy for my time, for a team leader's time, somebody leading an organization, of course, and then the organization in general. Dive a little bit into that. What do you think is the best utilization of energy for leaders and even organizations today?
Yeah, the best ROE is to assess, align, and adapt. So I call it the triple A framework, just for simplicity, not to be confused with the travel agency AAA, but assess, know where you are on that growth curve. Know what jazzes you up. Do you love working with people? Do you love taking risks? Do you love avoiding risks? Because whether you're a leader, you know, trying to get the right butt in the right seat, or you're a person trying to stay energized and avoid burnout, it's really important to understand, assess what each person needs, what jazzes them up, and then align them to a role that fits that. So if you put me, for example, in auditing or accounting, something that needed to be very much, you know, in certain borders and, you know, don't take any risk and, you know, it wouldn't work out long term. I could do it. I've got the skills. This has nothing to do about capabilities. It's what jazzes you up. Where if you put me in a think tank or innovation, you know, something that's creative, then I'll thrive and I'll be highly productive. And you're so right. If you have this ROE, people are going to be more innovative, productive, and you're going to end up with more profits at the end of the day.
I'm curious, what are some markers for you, Tabitha, when you see that an organization may be heading toward decline, or at least they're having a serious break in their energy?
Yeah, let me use Southwest Airlines as an example. In the book, I take corporate examples and case studies to talk about this phenomenon of energy. So Southwest was in that maturity, you know, decline phase. They grew, they peaked, and then they were right at the spot, you know, with Kelly at the helm. And Kelly was great because he helped them scale by, you know, he's an efficiency guy. I can make it leaner, leaner, leaner. And that's what you want to do as you grow, so you could spread out and, you know, you can make it really efficient. But when you're at the top, now you need the Steve Jobs kind of guy that will come in and disrupt and get you on the next curve. But what did they do? They hired a guy that had been at Southwest like 30 years and was even more of a, you know, refiner, streamliner than Kelly was. And look what happened that year. That was the year that they had the travel fiasco at Christmas time and left thousands, you know, of travelers stranded because they couldn't see the forest for the trees. They were so busy cutting, you know, costs and refining that they didn't invest in technology. They didn't invest in their flight attendants. They didn't listen to their pilots because that would be too, you know, innovative and disruptive. So you got to get the right leader at the right time.
So what about for a leader when you say something seems off or they're not getting the best return on their energy? What are some markers that you're looking at?
Yeah, I'm looking at how is that person uniquely energized? There's this tool developed by Peter Robertson over in the EU. He's a physicist and a psychologist, a medical doctor. So he understands how people move and how they think. And it has three different axes. One is human attachment. You know, do I love people or do I love content? Do I love generalization, like a general physician, or am I a deep specialist, like a heart surgeon or brain surgeon? And then, you know, the growth curve is the other one. Do I love to explore and take risks, or do I like to find risk and kill it? And, you know, there's a spectrum all in between. And his model I love. So I think finding out what jazzes you up is really important. And then I take his model, and it's called the AEM Cube, C-U-B-E, and Human Insight offers it. But I take their model and add purpose as a fourth dimension, because purpose, once you know your direction and you're connected, then you can accelerate that. Again, all words that talk about energy, you can accelerate it with purpose.
Yeah, that idea of Newton's law, that energy is neither created nor destroyed, this idea of where are we transferring our best energy to? And you can kind of see it when an organization is plateauing. And like you talk about, this kind of major transitions. There's a leader here listening or watching that's thinking about transition for themselves, either pulling back or pushing in. Seasonally, how can or does a leader know to push harder and expend more energy, to pull back, to rest, or to push hard? How can a leader know?
Yeah, I think the first thing is, you know, the first book I wrote was called Trust Your Animal Instincts, and it was all about burnout. It was the story of me getting to the point of burnout where I walked away from my job in 2016, gave away my stuff, and lived in the jungle for a few months just to reconnect. And what I wrote the book out of passion for others, like, please don't do what I did. Don't let it get to that point, because your own intuition will tell you.
Cautionary tale.
Yes, it's a cautionary tale of you have to listen. If you're feeling off balance, literally that's the laws of physics saying your energy is being drained from you. Mm. I mean, think about our language, Alan. She spun up. He lit up a room. We're transformed. I feel drained. I feel, you know, excited. I feel energized. I feel burnout. Even if you have a great idea, what the heck comes over your head? A light bulb. Mm-hmm. So it's nuts. It's throughout our language. People that read scriptural texts, like in the Bible, 272 times light is used to refer to Christ and God. You know, so it's in our religions. It's in our language.
Right.
And the sooner we recognize it. Yeah, exactly. But we ignore it. You know, we're so desensitized to it. So my answer is, you know what? Leaders know it. They're just not listening. They're not really listening to their energy level. And if you're feeling burned out every day, take a break. That's how you know, how are you feeling? And listen to it.
So let's dive a little bit deeper. So burned out Tabitha, heading into the jungle. How were you different when you came out of the jungle?
Much calmer, much calmer, and much less stressed out about things that don't matter. I think having time back in the woods, I grew up on a small farm in Kentucky with animals in nature, you know, observing the water going around rocks and obstacles in the streams. You know, it didn't stop and stress out. It just flew, you know, flowed around. So watching that adaptability, there was no waste on our farm. You took the horse waste and you put it on the garden to as fertilize. You looked at the networks, you know, underground, the fungal networks are way more sophisticated than even generative AI today. So all of these things about nature and, of course, the growth cycle really helped me understand how life works and how business works. And going away, taking that time away, it gave me the perspective to not be in the weeds of the business and the freneticism of ego and just detach from that ego for a while and go, I am part of something much more badass than business, which has been around, what, 350 years?
Right.
The, you know, nature's been evolving for 4 billion years and it's incredibly balanced and perfect. You know, the only imbalance in it is created from those parasites called humans.
I do a lot of sabbatical work, and our team walks people through sabbatical. Talk a little bit about sabbatical and how that can be, you know, kind of a recentering and re-energizing tool for leaders.
I can't say enough about that. And I love your work that you all are doing around that, because people don't understand, even if it's a loss of income, you will gain so much more by just taking a break, by giving that ego a rest, by not constantly thinking, how am I going to please this person? How am I going to make that next dollar? What's the political angle here? Just put all that aside and just be, you know, it's just that simple.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting putting the ego to rest. I've never used that terminology, but I just think through a leader constantly is having to think their way through their next problem. And it's so disorienting for your organization. They got it. And you just need to walk your way through the next day slowly. And it's incredibly disorienting to a leader. And it's like a fundamental paradigm shift that a leader has. I've never seen a leader return from sabbatical the same person. Maybe they didn't go to the jungle like you did, but never return the same person if they walk through the process in, you know, a fairly guided way. What about productivity? How does productivity connect here to energy with either leaders and a productive leader or a productive organization?
Yeah, I think productivity is kind of a result. And the more energized you are, the more productive you can be. Now, if you add purpose on top of that, Now you have a reason to produce. So even down to the level of if you really hate your job and you really feel trapped, well, first I would challenge you're not trapped. You think you're trapped. But putting that aside, if you really feel, you know, convinced that you're trapped, gamify your workday. You know, I do that if I have to do like my taxes or reports or, you know, things that you have to do in day-to-day business that you don't love. Okay, if I get through these three reports, then I'll take a walk around the block. It doesn't have to be something major. It could be 5 minutes. Rub your pet's, you know, fur for a little bit. But just anything to gamify or have a little piece of dark chocolate. Something that you can look forward to in little increments, and it will help you get through your day.
That's good. Some leader is listening and watching. They're overwhelmed right now. Overwhelm. People are spinning in it. Maybe they're thinking about either fight or flight, the different reactions from that. What do you say to a leader when they're at that spot of overwhelm, they're spun up, and they're maybe about to make a bad decision?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would say I love you no matter what. And you are so valuable. You are put here for a reason. And the more you can allow yourself the grace to think about that instead of thinking about what you need to avoid and what's not going right in your life right now, just know that you are loved and that you're so important. And the more you can find out what that is that you're uniquely contributing, you know, it might be making pillows. It could be, I'm just looking around my office here. You know, it doesn't matter what doesn't matter. What does matter is how it makes you feel. Remember that old Maya Angelou quote about people won't remember. I'm going to really butcher it, so you may have to help me. What you did, they won't remember what you say, but they will always remember how you made them feel. And so what is it that you're doing that can help somebody around you feel a little better, or maybe an animal or a plant feel a little better? And guess what? Before you know it, it'll help you feel better too.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, we're inherently wired to serve. And I was even in a bit of a funk last night. I had just several sad things happen with my clients. One of them, has a serious partner issue that's going to change their life and their business. And I literally thought, man, I could really watch some TV right now. Yeah. And really it was like, yep, but I really need to serve by doing the dishes. There's this massive pile of dishes, you know, balancing in that. And I literally had that thought to me. It's like, what I think I need is to go and either, you know, scroll or watch a dumb TV show. What I actually need in this moment is to serve. And, you know, I was, whatever, 15% more hopeful afterwards because I, yes, I'm actually put here to serve, not to watch dumb TV. So I was literally thinking about that last night. It's funny. It's funny that you say that around the purpose thing. I love that you're stressing purpose so much, too. I think we've left it out of organizations too much. And we just kind of view ourselves as, you know, a brain on a stick as opposed to a motive. And we have a purpose for what we do, which means there's a lot of stuff we don't have a purpose for and we don't love. So I love, Tabitha, your work, your book, of course. We'll put that in the show notes. As we conclude this time, I'm curious. I don't get to talk to a futurist very often. Zoom out a little bit, maybe about the next decade or so of leadership, of organizations, of business. What are some predictions you have about things that maybe are currently changing and things that are going to change?
Yeah, I think one of the things that it's a shift that leaders need to make if they are going to ride this wave of change instead of, you know, be behind it, trying to manage it and trying to chase it. I think we need to shift from what can I get from you? What can I get from my people? How can I put them in a box so they will be maximum capacity within this, you know, widget specialization, you know, and silo? We need to flip that into how can I let your power go? How can I release and ignite your potential? And that's such a powerful shift. If you take the time to understand what makes that person tick, what lights them up, and then let them go, you know, let them burn. But that's very uncomfortable for a lot of leaders because they want to control. And so it's that balance of control is great while you're scaling, but depending what part of the organization you're in, you're going to alienate a lot of your, you know, people that you need for creativity and to jump on the next curve. So I think leading differently is really important in the next decade. I think understanding that AI has opportunities, a lot of people have fear around it, and justly so with the bias that goes into it. But I also think now that we've created this language and it can very quickly assimilate, I would expect a new language, a universal language to be developed by AI. And not just that, but a universal payment system. And I hope to God that it is not as energy intense as Bitcoin and, you know, blockchain and the things that we've invented. Hopefully it will be, you know, use no energy and create no waste. But I see that our, you know, our language barriers, our financial, you know, what we're using for currency will be brought more together. And this is not going to happen overnight. But, you know, by the end of a decade, I think we're going to see these things start.
Wow. So much currently changing. And I agree with you. I think if we structure for the moment we have come from, even the moment that we're in, we're going to miss a whole lot of opportunity. Last thought. You give a lot of advice, speak a lot, consult with organizations. What's one piece of advice you find yourself giving to leaders a lot these days?
Yeah, I think really focusing on the current. This is the first book in the Current Insights series. And, you know, Alan, with your work and talking about your return on energy, the current quite literally is the present, but it's also that heartbeat that hums in every person. It's the people inside an organization. And so thinking about it both from, if all of your attention is looking at the past, how did the financials perform? What did we do then? Or so far in the future that you forget about the people that are around you right this minute in the current, then you're going to miss things. And the most powerful advice that I can give to leaders is to take a hot minute. Maybe it's on a sabbatical, or maybe it's just like one day, and take time to think about what is happening right this minute. And it's surprising, but people don't do that. They're either stressing out or depressed about the past. You know, I should have, would have, could have done that. Or they're thinking about what's next, what's next? I got to get here. I got to do that. And you're not thinking about who are the people in my life, what's showing up for me right now, who, you know, is being attracted to me, what types of events are coming to me, and how do I feel about that? That's where we go back to listening. And so I would say listen to what's in the current, inside, energy-wise, and the present.
So good. Tabitha, thanks for your work, and congrats on your brand new book. We'll put a link there in the show notes. Keep it up. Keep pushing bravely into the future. Thanks for stopping by today.
You too, Alan. Let's do it.